Islamic law springs from the basic meaning and requirement of Islam, submission to and realization of God's will. The Quran, remember, teaches that Muslims must strive or struggle, jihad, in the path, Sharia, in the path of God, to implement God's will on earth, expand and defend their community, and establish a just society. Like Judaism, and in contrast to Christianity's emphasis on doctrine, on correct belief, on orthodoxy, Islam emphasizes correct action, observance, or orthopraxy. Thus, in Islam, as in Judaism, law rather than theology enjoys pride of place as the central expression of the faith. One defines oneself in terms of whether one is an observant Muslim, just as one talks about an observant Jew. In Christianity, the tendency was to tilt towards doctrine. Though they overlap, the distinction between Sharia, God's law, and fiqh, human understanding and interpretation of law, is critical to understanding the meaning and dynamic nature of Islamic law and its possibilities for modern reinterpretation and reform today. Many say, is Islam and is Islamic law capable of change and reform? Well, we'll see the importance of these terms. Sharia in the Quran and in Islam refers specifically to divine law, for God is the only lawgiver. Islamic law, in many ways, is a broader category that encompasses the divine law and human understanding or interpretation, fiqh. And so it's an interpretation of God's law. Too often, though, Sharia is simply equated with the term Islamic law, obscuring the degree to which human interpretation influenced the final product, so that the final product is actually a combination of that which is immutable and that which is mutable or changeable due to human interpretation. The development of Islamic law was the work then of religious scholars, the ulama, rather than judges, courts, or governments. They primarily laid out the law that we find in the law books. The main divisions of law concern two broad areas. First, a Muslim's duties to God. Obligatory practices or essential observances. Here primarily those involved with worship. Think concretely of the five pillars of Islam. These are unchangeable. Second, a Muslim's duties to others, social transactions or relations. These would include regulations governing public life, from contract and international law to family laws governing marriage, divorce, and inheritance. Sunni Muslims recognize four official sources of Islamic law. The bulk of the Quran consists of broad, general, moral directives or principles, and this is the first source of law. Remember, the Quran is the book of God, the revelation. Approximately 80 prescriptions in the Quran rank as legal prescriptions in the very narrowest sense or definition of law. In other senses, you're talking about legal principles and values. And most of these come from the Medinan period, when Muhammad was establishing the first Islamic community state. The second source of law is the Sunnah, the example of the Prophet. Remember, we talked about how the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet are the foundation stones. The Prophet's Sunnah, what he said and did, which were believed to be preserved in narrative stories and reports known as traditions of the Prophet, Hadith. The third source is analogical reasoning, or qiyas. It's a technique used when no clear text of the Quran or the Sunnah is directly relevant to a legal question. And so when there's no clear text that exists, then jurists were free to use their independent judgment or reasoning, called ijtihad, to examine similar situations whose principles could be applied to this new situation. This, of course, led to a great deal of diversity of opinion. The fourth source of law is the consensus, the ijma, of the community. In practice, it came to be understood as the consensus of the majority of scholars, religious scholars, the ulama, who were the guardians and interpreters of the law. In many ways, the self-proclaimed guardians and interpreters.